Today, the church celebrates Divine Mercy Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, and the octave of Easter. So I want to make sure that we have a common frame of reference this morning. In the church, the liturgical calendar, there is a hierarchy of prominence in which different days and events in the life of the church are celebrated. So at the top, we have solemnities, typically your Sundays and holy days of obligation. Then there are feasts. Then there are obligatory memorials, and then there are optional memorials. Christmas and Easter get a nuance. There is an octave that goes with that. There's too much joy to be contained in one day. We celebrate it solemnly for 8 days. And so today is the culmination of that. It is the 8th day of this octave of Easter. And so for the priests, the deacons, the religious sisters, religious brothers, and anyone else who is committed to praying the divine office, the liturgy of the hours, we have been reminded of this all week long, because the prayers, the psalm prayers that we pray at morning prayer and evening prayer, each day has referred us back to Easter Sunday. We have been saying the same prayers all week because we have been celebrating Easter all week. Now, why do I share all of that with you? Because in the year 2000, when Pope John Paul II canonized Saint Faustina, he declared the second Sunday of Easter to be Divine Mercy Sunday. And so, as with any type of change, whether it's in the church or in the secular world, there are always questions and discussions to be had. Well, what does this do to the octave of Easter? Because we are already celebrating it as solemnly as what we can. Won't naming this Divine Mercy Sunday diminish the octave? After much discussion, it seems to me that Divine Mercy Sunday encapsulates and shines a spotlight on everything we've been celebrating for these 8 days. And even going back a little bit further into the Paschal Triduum, on Holy Thursday, we celebrated the institution of the Eucharist. That is mercy. Jesus gives us something very tangible to hold on to. He is fully present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the forms of bread and wine. That's mercy. Good Friday, he gives up his life for us, pays the price for our sin. That is mercy. The quietness of Holy Saturday, giving us that time to reflect upon this gift that has been given to us. And then on Saturday night at the great Easter Vigil, the light of Christ explodes on us. That is mercy. And it carries us through into Easter Sunday, and indeed for all 8 days, we have experienced an outpouring of God's mercy. And if you joined in the novena that started on Good Friday as we've prayed the chaplet of divine mercy leading us to this day, we are going to see an abundance of God's love and mercy flowing upon us. Now, let's put it into the context of the scripture readings for today. And I'm going to work backwards, starting with the gospel. Jesus appears in their midst. Think about the roller coaster ride that the disciples have had. They walk with Jesus during his public ministry. They see him arrested. They see him beaten. They see him killed. They're in a room locked for fear. And Jesus stands in their midst. That's mercy. And think about then, he breathes on them, receive the Holy Spirit. What a gift. The second time when Thomas is present, and I feel bad for Thomas. We've labeled him sometimes as Doubting Thomas. I guess I feel bad for him because if I want to be honest with myself and put my story in there, I'm probably like Thomas. I grew up in Missouri, the Show Me State. Show me, prove it to me. Thomas was stating something that probably many people felt. And the presence of Jesus to him, and he says, see the marks, touch the marks. Be not unbelieving, but believe. This is mercy for Thomas, but it's mercy for you and I as well. Because I don't know about you, but for me, it makes me feel good to know that someone doubted, the proof walked in the room, and it even says in sacred scripture, Jesus did many other signs that are not recorded here, but these are recorded so that you and I may believe. This is a story that gives mercy to each and every one of us, because the exclamation of Thomas after he had denied that Jesus was really alive exclaims, my Lord and my God. Wow. You go to the second reading then from the letter of St. Peter. We have an imperishable inheritance in heaven. But don't miss the second half of the reading. But for a little while, you may have trials and sufferings. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren says that words like trials, temptations, testing, refining are used over 200 times in sacred scripture. I did not go through and count them. I'll take his word for that. But for those of us who have lived any number of years, I think we all recognize life is not always easy. Life can be hard. But in those moments of difficulty, there is also grace. There is mercy. Now, sometimes when we're in the midst of the crisis, it's hard to see the grace and the mercy. And I'll use my own life as a reference for that. When I was diagnosed with cancer for the first time at the age of 25, it was hard for me to see grace and mercy. I'm thinking, what is going on here? But I was blessed to have people around me. The chaplain at the hospital constantly encouraging me, look for God's love in this. But I had one woman that I had just met at the support group meeting for families coping with life-threatening illnesses. Her 26-year-old daughter had just been diagnosed with the same kind of cancer that her 20-year-old son died from a few years earlier. And she looked at me, and at the time we're having this discussion, I had just recently finished my chemo treatments. I am still completely bald. I'm about 80 pounds lighter than what I stand before you today. There is nothing really of me but skin and bones. And she looks at me and she says, someday you'll see cancer as a blessing. I think for one of the few times in my life, I was speechless. The stunned look on my face must have told the whole story, because she follows it up with, I don't expect you to understand now, but you will. Quietly, I was thinking, man, this lady is under way too much stress. It took years and years for me to understand what she meant. But as I look back now, I am the person I am, not because of the suffering, but because of the grace that came along with that suffering. Don't miss the grace in the hard times. And finally, that brings us to that first reading. The very first line says, they devoted themselves to the disciples' teaching, the communal life, the breaking of bread, and prayer. I hope we're still doing that today. When you come here to Mass every week, Are you devoting yourselves to the teachings of Christ and His church? Are you praying with and for one another? I know I've used the reference before, but I'll use it again this morning. Think of it as a three-legged stool: prayer, study, action. How do you pray? Can you tell your prayer life has grown from what it was 5 years ago? Both how you pray at Mass and how you pray in your personal life. Study. Are you a lifelong learner? And I'm not asking you to be a lifelong learner so you can become academic and smart. Someone mentioned to me before Mass started, it's not about what you know, but who you know. I agree with that. But what we know will hopefully lead us to who we know more deeply. For myself, just preparing for this homily this week, I got to tell you, there's a little bit of me that after last Sunday, I did the last Mass on Easter Sunday, and by the time I got home, it was after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and after Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil, and Easter Sunday, I kind of went, shoo. But I knew I was preaching today, so I had to start studying. And wow, the grace of God that opened up as I studied. I read about mercy. I prayed for mercy. I read some of St. Faustina's writings. I experienced mercy. I went to confession on Thursday. I wanted to truly experience this to the fullness. I didn't want to just become smart. I wanted to experience God's love, and that's what I'm asking for you. Be a lifelong learner. The wisdom of the church has a treasury. The writings of the saints, the papal documents, all of these things throughout the centuries of the church. But if we don't know about them, what good are they? How many people in your circle of influence have never even heard of Divine Mercy Sunday? It's been around since 2000, so less than a quarter of a century. So in the eyes of the church, it's still relatively new. But on the other hand, it's a devotion that has spread throughout the country. What have you and I done to help spread this to people that aren't sitting in the pews to help them experience God's divine mercy? And finally, action. Prayer, study, action. Please don't just be hearers of God's word. Be doers of God's word. Our world needs your faithful witness to Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. Evangelization is not a program. Evangelization is a way of life. Do people see in you the joy of the risen Lord so much that they want to know what you have because they would sure like to have that in their lives? You know, I jokingly talked about collapsing at the Sunday afternoon, but there's some truth in it, unfortunately, is that as clergy, we put a lot of time, energy, and effort during the Lenten season. You're offered additional opportunities to pray, the Stations of the Cross, more opportunities to go to confession. A lot of times you have parish missions, all different kinds of things. But the reality is, we celebrate the joy of the risen Lord for 50 days. This is no time to let our energy down. This is the time to shine out in the world. Do we really believe what has happened during these days? I would simply like to close today with the last line of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So I invite you to take just a moment, focus one of three places. Focus your attention either on the tabernacle where Jesus is present. Focus your attention on the altar where Jesus will soon be present as the one sacrifice of Calvary is made present to us. Or focus your attention on the large crucifix. And just allow yourself a moment to be overwhelmed with God's divine mercy. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.